This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or HOWW.AS/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more.
Hey, Wendy, how was your weekend?
Good, Brian. How was yours?
Not bad. It was a little rainy.
A little rainy. Guess what I did?
What did you do?
I think you'd be proud of me based on one of our past podcasts.
What?
I went and watched Wonder Woman.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it.
It's very okay.
It's, yeah. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy 2 more, but...
Oh, yeah, way more.
You know, she was a great actress, and I didn't know much about the Wonder Woman story, so it was entertaining enough.
So I really liked the fact that they kept a lot of stuff from... When you say the comics, you're saying it's like it's one thing. I mean, Wonder Woman's been around for, what, 65 or 70 years or so.
See, I don't know this stuff.
They have to change stuff over time with that. So I like that they kept the stuff that I like.
Yes. They kept the things that I knew, my little bit of knowledge of Wonder Woman being, other than the invisible plane. Sorry, spoiler alert. Yeah. No invisible plane.
Well, there's no invisible jet because jets hadn't been invented yet.
No, that's true. Good point. But it was enjoyable. I had a busy weekend, but that's one thing I did do. And yes, it's been very rainy. Boo.
I hate rain.
I know. But that gave me time to be inside to... engulf myself in the topic of this week, which is...
It's a book.
We listened to another book. We did listen to another book because...
Audible.
Audible was amazing.
I really like it.
I can get through them quicker this way. And, you know, there's some things I want to flip the pages, but these ones are really good because I can multitask.
Yeah, I really like audiobooks.
And still take a lot away, so...
This is Rejection Proof.
Yes. I really enjoyed it.
You were just flipping through like my collection of audiobooks and you saw that and you're like, oh,
yeah,
let's talk about that.
Yes.
So it wasn't anything in particular. I think the reason that I picked this one up was the fact that I am really bad about asking for things.
So there was so much in this book that leads back to like that. It was like, I think the title caught my attention, right? And also because of the job situation I just went through, I had a little bit of the rejection stuff going on.
Yes.
In my brain. And I am also one who am hindered somewhat by potential rejection. So I won't do as much. And then the fact that in the title it says 100 days of rejection, I was like, did this person really do this? So it has... some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, so back when you were my boss, I never once applied for a single job, but that was only because I knew that I wouldn't get anything. I'm kidding. So it's actually kind of funny. What I really liked about this book is, and Stacy, who was on the show last week, and I have been talking about development at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear and obvious that how some people define development's probably not the same as what she and I define as development.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's the hard... it's the hard behavior changes, things that are
the really uncomfortable self-awareness
things.
Stuff.
Yeah. And most people don't go and change those things because it's really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, those are the only ones worth doing.
I agree completely.
So what I liked about this book is where I think I've become a much more open and willing giver and recipient, mostly giver of feedback. Because I, you know, in the past didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. On the reciprocal end, though, like I never liked being told, you know, no, in the sense that you're not good enough. You're not what
you didn't want to be rejected.
I did. I feared rejection.
Yes,
so,
I think that is a common fear.
Yeah. So it made sense that this, you know, book would help with that. And it's interesting. I think honestly, most of the book you could probably read or listen to the first half and get everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting. So do you want to talk about some of the, basically where the author started out?
So what I did, got through the book and he has 20, like he kind of did a postmortem, right? Cause he premises without the spoiler completely is for 100 days, he recorded putting himself out there for rejection and to see if he would be rejected or if he wasn't. And through the book, he has basically highlighted 24 things he learned on that 100-day journey. And so Do you want me to run through real quick what they were?
Do it, yeah.
Okay, and then if here's what I want to do. If I name, if like call out one that you're like, ooh, 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 that one, then let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm betting that I won't, though.
Oh, I would have. Okay.
I have interesting opinions on this book.
I'm glad that we flipped the script then, because I would have been like, oh, let's stop on that one. Let's talk about it. So here's the 24 lessons that you will encounter in much more depth than this list, but rejection is human. So basically, being human includes being rejected or rejecting. Rejection is an opinion. It's not necessarily the truth. It's one person's opinion. Rejection has a number. I thought that one was interesting. Ask why before saying goodbye. So the premise there was, hey, somebody said no, but you just left. You didn't say why no. Retreat, don't run, meaning if you get a no, don't just run away scared. Collaborate, don't contend. Switch up, don't give up, meaning that way didn't work, try another way. Give a why. Why are you asking for what you're asking for? And start with I. If you're asking for yourself, it's more genuine. People are more inquisitive about why you're asking. Acknowledge doubts. Target the audience. Patience and respect. Be direct. Offer alternatives. Motivate. Self-improvement. Worthiness, character building, find empathy, find value, find mission, freedom to ask, freedom to accept yourself, and detachment from results. Like, those are the 24 things that this guy learned on this 100-day journey. That's a long list. Like, that's a lot of self-assessment and like digging deep. So you didn't stop me once. You weren't lying.
No. Like, the only one. So I like the book. Don't get me wrong. So yeah. I'm not. I think the value of the book for me probably came from the first chapter.
Okay.
And I would still be happy with the whole thing, with how the book sort of affected my thought process. But I guess I don't remember exactly the way that he phrased it, but I guess the personal curiosity, basically asking something that would intrigue the person on the who's receiving the question.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was, I guess, a strategy that I thought was pretty interesting.
The Dale Carnegie thing where it's like, start with something you know they're interested. That one?
Yeah, but or basically the thought being, oh, that's an interesting question. Why would you ask that? I need to know more about
you. Oh, you mean how he was saying frame it in a way that makes the other person become inquisitive.
Yeah, I think the example from the book was when he tried to get a job for a day.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask you, is like, there's so many things this guy did, right? Some seemed like pretty normal, but was that one of your favorite things of the things he attempted to get rejected for?
It was. So let me make sure that the listeners get this one point. So like you said, he sought 100 days of rejection. So basically each day he would come up with a new request of either somebody on the street, somebody that he knows, somebody worked at a store.
Strangers. Yeah.
And the book started off with one that was absurd. I guess it was Austin.
Yes.
He walked up to somebody's house while they were watching a football game and asked if they could take a photo of him in their backyard playing soccer.
Yes, it was the strangest opening to the book, but it drew you in quickly.
It did. It really did. But honestly, for me, the thing that I got the most value from was just listening to his first couple of experiences from asking for stuff, whether it was an absurd request or a realistic request. Honestly, the absurd requests probably weren't that useful to me, like asking the doorman for $100.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just awkward.
Yeah.
But like, the fact that he was able to survive these 100 days, or he was able to survive the first few days, yeah, it was awesome that he gleaned something, but just his example of doing it helped, I don't know, build up my confidence and willingness to ask.
To ask.
And that's all I needed and all I wanted from this book.
Yeah.
I didn't need strategies. I didn't need to understand the evolutionary history of why, you know, people hate rejection.
Didn't need the psychological part.
Didn't care. Didn't need it. But I really appreciated his willingness to share these things. And I mean, that helped me. That helped give me confidence.
Yes.
So, like, I would do over stupid stuff. He mentioned how I think he would have other people make phone calls for him. I did that.
Yeah.
So I actually used this like a couple days ago.
Okay.
And we'll go into that. But yeah, it's...
Well, I thought that was the interesting part. So I, as I finished this, right, I was like, okay, how am I gonna, like, maybe incorporate some of this into my life? So one of the very interesting points that I think he made, so two things. My favorite example of him seeking out rejection, and I'm like, so often I see this happen, or I'm that person, or I try to be that person, is when he went to plant the rose bush, right? And he just wanted to drive to a random house and ask somebody if he could plant a rose bush in their at their home. And he went up and the guy was like,
no,
nope.
But my neighbor
would love that. And the guy was very nice. He was like, hey, you know, it's not that I don't like that's very kind of you, but if you put it in my yard, my dog's gonna like dig it up. And so it wasn't about, I don't like you, you're a stranger, I don't want to take this rose bush, it's a useless task for, but you know what, that's a kind thing that you're doing, my neighbor would love it. And I think so much of our lives are encountered that way. If we think about it, like if we ask somebody about a topic or we ask for something, if you encounter the right person, they're like, I can't help you, but somebody else can.
Yes, absolutely.
Or I don't want to take that because it's not going to be a need for me, but I know somebody who you would make their day. Like that part was like, that happens a lot. And I absolutely think we should appreciate that and be that kind of person. So I thought that was a great one of the rejection things he set out to do, and he got rejected, but he didn't get rejected. And then the other one was the panhandling, trying to panhandle for a day. I thought that was an interesting attempt to, you know, changing up his sign and taking it and seeing how far do you just go from rejection panhandling, or if you're panhandling for a cause, then that changes people's mindsets and that strategy part you got into. But planting the rose was a big thing for me. But I also liked how he flipped the script a little bit, and it wasn't about just once you put yourself up for rejection and you get rejected and you become desensitized to it because you're learning to accept it, you're learning to handle it more. But then it, flipping it around and saying, you know what, when you're the person who is trying to teach people to put themselves out there and be comfortable with rejection, but they're coming to you and you need to start rejecting them. That's the part where, yep, this is where I fall apart because I hate saying no.
Me too.
And you, I was going to say, me and Brian have this same thing. It's hard to say no.
You know that I hate to say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I used to have to say, Brian,
yes,
you're going to kill yourself for everybody else. But I do it too. I mean, hypocrite sitting over here, you know, if I say I wasn't. So
I said no recently at work, believe me.
That's good. And it said more that avoiding rejection, meaning we often say no because we're concerned about that person rejecting us because we said no. Not that they aren't going to take a personal shot at us or be upset with us because we said no. But we instantly go into, if I don't say yes, this person's going to reject me in however way we don't want them to reject us. So I thought that was really interesting when he said that, because I was like, oh, that's, I fall in that camp for sure.
So I guess let me share some of the history with me and the fear of rejection, at least to give you an idea of how afraid I've been. So it used to be that when I was younger, a teenager, I would have my mom call places for me if they like check to see if they had something in stock. Say I wanted to rent a movie or pick up a video game, I would have her call because I didn't want to have to hear no from somebody. It's like it's ridiculous, but it's like I'm putting something out there, and that's not even a judgment call on me. That's just like I don't like the idea of, I feel like I'm being judged when I ask the question. I think a lot of it comes down to the fear of judgment is what the fear of rejection really is. If I sent somebody a request or I needed something and I would get an email back in response, it might be days before I would read the email just to muster up my courage to read it.
Really?
Yes. I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
Really?
Yes. So,
wow.
And I mentioned this to you. So yeah, the fear of rejection, this is something related to us. When after I interviewed for the job, to work with you years ago. It took forever to actually hear back on it. I wrote a thanks but no thanks letter that I wrote, and then I had hit the send button, but you have to let go of the send button for it to actually send the email. So I wrote it and I looked at it for like an hour, and I hit the send button, but I didn't release. I just circled around and around and around and around. I'm like, oh God, because I didn't want to be told that I didn't get the job.
You wanted to be first to the punch.
I wanted to be first to the punch. I wanted to reject first.
Yeah, and I remember you telling me that, and I was like, holy mackerel.
This guy's got problems.
No, it wasn't even that. I just, because nobody likes rejection. I mean, nobody does. Everybody goes in hopeful that the thing they ask for, the thing they hope is going to happen, is going to happen. I mean, that's the part of his saying rejection is human. Nobody wants to not get the thing they're seeking, or in your case, you know, and in a lot of people's case, we've all done it. I've done it where it's like, I'm going to be first to the punch because I already see where this is headed. So
yes,
I'm just going to be able to reject them before they reject me.
Oh,
right.
God,
and he
that.
Didn't get into that as much. I thought that was interesting. Or yeah. I don't recall him diving into that. You rejecting before somebody else rejects. But I guess that wasn't his mission either.
No,
so
like specifically, I guess his mission was to, one, explore rejection for 100 days. Mm-hmm. I don't think his end goal at the time was to write a book. He was doing the video series on YouTube. But the thing is, my thought with this book, and it's just one of those things, especially with a self-help book, you typically have a couple of core ideas. Then when you write the book, you have to write all this extra stuff around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that the book had quite a bit of that stuff, again, that I didn't need, again, like the evolutionary reasoning behind all of this stuff. But just the fact that he put himself out there and with a similar experience and a similar aversion to rejection that I had, I think I feel emboldened, I guess, that because he did it, I was able to do it. So like I said, I fear rejection over stupid stuff. So I had to send an email to a company that I was looking to do business with this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I know your service says it covers this, this, and this, and this is great, but I need it also to do this right here. So something basically that's not listed as a service.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what I need fits outside of your parameters. Can I still do this? And honestly, before I read the book, I probably would have just let it go. But I sent the email and got the response back, read the emails. Not immediately after I got it, but
yep.
Pretty quickly, I think by the next morning. And they went ahead and said, yeah, okay, yeah, we can do that. We can work with you.
That's awesome.
And they did it.
See?
It was a minor, small little thing, but I did it, and I wouldn't have if I hadn't read the book.
See, you're the other part of it, going back to what you're saying about sending the rejection email before somebody else could reject you or not, you know, not ask something before you just give up. For lack of a better term. But one of the things he says, you know, is ask why. So why did you get the no? So I thought about that, you know, and I'm like, how often I don't ask. Like, I was hanging out with one of our friends this week, right? And he was saying, oh, we're just going to do this and we're just going to do that. And I was like, wait, dude, no, wait, what do you mean you're just going to do it? Why don't you ask first, you know? And he's like, well, ask or not, I'm still gonna do, like, we're still gonna do it. Why not ask, or why not do this? And I was like, oh yep, good point. So as I was listening to this too, I'm like, how often, and I watched him do it several times where he asked a question and he got a no or a I don't think so, and it was just, well, why not? And I think about all the times that maybe I didn't get that job, or I didn't get the answer that I wanted, or I didn't research and ask for more simply because I wouldn't say, okay, why? Like, why didn't I get that job? Or why can't I have that? I just went, okay, they said no, you know, and I liked that part because it seems, for some people, it seems so second nature and easy. And for other people, just to say, well, they rejected me, so I'm not going to ask why, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are other times, like I just recently, within the last month, interviewed for a job and didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I had that conversation, 15-minute conversation about the job. I was given feedback. I wanted more, but I didn't ask for it. I should have.
Mm-hmm.
When you gave me the new job back in 2015, I should have asked for more money, but I didn't. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times that I've just, I can, I mean, it's, one of those things. I mean, there's probably, I probably, if I thought about it, would have a lot of regret for things that I didn't ask for that I should have done.
Oh, I think a lot of people, I mean, from the smallest to the biggest, that there's always the, what if I would have done this? Or what if I would have asked that question? Or what if I would have pushed that? But the other thing I liked that he said is that there's good and bad rejection, right?
Yes.
And that from the bad rejection came a lot of wisdom, because it was, A, if you ask why, or those people are willing to reject you and give you explanation or whatever, there's a lot of wisdom to be gained from that, whether it's to improve yourself or they actually made a call for you that had they not, it wouldn't have ended up the way you hoped, because yeah, they foresaw something for you. Like that part I think about too. So tell me about a time when you've had to deliver rejection. What, like, can you remember one of the toughest times you had to deliver rejection to somebody? And then, but you did it out of the knowing it wasn't the right thing potentially for them, or it wasn't going to get them what they were hoping for.
I'll give two quick examples, and one, I probably shouldn't give this one.
Because speaking code.
Person may be listening.
Speaking code.
I will have to speak in code. So I had gotten feedback on somebody that I was working on a project team with, and nobody wanted to work with that person. The person was loud, the person spoke over everybody else, and other people couldn't get their thoughts or opinions in edgewise. And it's one of those things that I was averse to feedback at the time, and it was something that I just couldn't do. So basically, I was given an ultimatum by the project team to, it's like, either this person's off the project or we're all gone. And this was a long-term project.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to basically pull the person aside, and basically, I had to say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, but we don't need to use you here anymore. And it ended up being like an hour and a half long conversation that at the end, I ended up committing to, okay, well, instead of doing this project over here, how about you and I go work on this project? And then ended up blowing up. And if I had just told the person, you know, no, I can't do it, it would have been much easier for me and I would have been much better off. But a more recent example is, we did an interview for somebody for a position that we had available. And it was we interviewed somebody that I had worked with quite a bit and was very fond of, think very highly of this person. But it was just one of those things that just wasn't their skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the role for them. I set the person down and I said, hey, you know, I think you're great. I think you're awesome. And I think if the position were this, this, and this, you would be a rock star. But in reality, the position is this and this, and that's not your strong suit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm like, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, I don't want you to be in this position a year from now and hate it and hate me because I allowed you to do something that wasn't what you're going to be successful at.
And what was there? How did they take that?
They said, I mean, they were appreciative. I mean, they're like, yeah, I get it. I totally understand that, you know, I might not be as successful in this as I could be in my current role. It's like, I really enjoy, you know, I enjoy what I do, but I want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I appreciated about them is they didn't try to segue it or switch it into like, yes, but I could do the role, so you should give it to me.
Yeah.
Where
turn it back into a yes.
Because
he does talk about that,
he does talk about that. And I've been in that situation where they tried to talk me back into, you know, changing my opinion or changing my mind. And what I said was true. I mean, it was not the right fit for the person.
Yeah.
So they were appreciative, though. I mean, I think that ended up being a good conversation that ultimately helped our relationship, where the prior conversation on the project, while it didn't damage our relationship that much, it left a lot of questions in the air that they didn't really understand what happened and why it happened. And it just wasn't good.
It wasn't a good follow-up. So you said something earlier. So one of the things where I had to deal with a rejection, and it's like a business thing again. But so you talked about how you used to have your mom call places, right?
Yes.
To ask questions, or because you didn't want to know the answer, whatever. So one of my most frustrating examples of having to reject something or someone. And then the follow up from that was it was an individual who applied for a job, like straight out of school, young, entry level position, right? They didn't get it. And like we were talking about, if you get a no, ask why. Guess who called me to get the why?
Oh my God. Their mom?
Their mom. And this has happened to me multiple times.
That is awesome.
These are young adults who are entering a workforce regardless of the skill set, regardless of the vocation, whatever it is. But they had their mother call me and ask me why their child did not get the job. And you know what I said? The first time I was just so dumbfounded, I couldn't even kind of find the words. So the first time it happened, my response probably wasn't as clear cut as the three times after that that it had occurred, because it did happen multiple times. But I remember with the mother, she was very upset, and it was like, how dare you with my baby kind of thing. And I was just like, he wasn't qualified. I'm so sorry. But there were other candidates with more skill set, experience, etc., and was a better hire. I feel like if he can do X, Y, and Z, you know, being very professional with her, but man, there was just no hearing it because I had rejected her baby. But the next time it was a father who called me about his daughter. And I kind of at this point was like, okay, I have got to level set in this rejection piece with the parents now, because they're now in this mix. And I just said, sir, you know what? I think long term, this would be more beneficial if your daughter and I could have this conversation. You relaying this information to her is not going to be as impactful. I'm happy to talk about the things of why she didn't receive the job. But I will tell you, it made me that hurt that person again if they were ever going to apply, because I was going to remember that they, as a young professional, sent their parent to ask why they didn't make it versus them truly caring enough to ask for themselves, which he pushes a lot. It's about you. It's about asking why for yourself so you can make yourself better, not for other people to go figure out what's wrong and why did I get rejected, right?
I mean, I would probably be like, well, the fact that you're calling me and not your kid is one of the primary reasons they're not getting this job.
And that's basically what I said to that guy, but I was trying to keep it very, very, you know, trying to be helpful and being like, well, let's see if she ends up calling me. And you know what? A week later, she did. The others, they did not.
It took her a week.
It did take her a week. But I also looked at that as my opportunity, as an example of trying to help a young person, even though I probably didn't need to put that level of effort in.
I mean, who am I to talk, though? I had my mom call Kmart for me. Like if
everything's relative, but I'm just saying. And when you're a teenager or you're just kind of learning that whole communication world as a child, then maybe that's one thing. But when you're 20 something coming out of college, don't have your parents call when you get rejected for a job. please don't do that to the hiring manager. But that was always an interesting response to rejection that I encountered, and I thought it was very odd. But he also talks about, right? Okay, so the definition of rejection is dismissing or refusing a proposal or an idea. But most people take, and you've said it, and I've just said it too, rejection personally.
It's a value judgment against the person. It's how people take it.
It's an opinion, like he says in one of his learnings. It's an opinion. It's not an indictment on your character. It's not an indictment on you as a person, but it feels that way in the moment, especially depending on what it is you're being rejected about.
And I got into a habit of, that's probably, it depends on how you would say it. It might be something awkward to say in an interview, but I try to set that as a ground rule. Like, if you get it or not, it's not a value judgment against you.
No. And I think even in, so I think about, right, there's certain situations, again, I think rejection is also situation based, because in your personal life, if it's outside of your professional life, like when you reject people, are you as thoughtful about how you reject them? I mean, do you tell Kim no?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yep. Good. Well, you're a well-trained husband. So, but there's certain people, we both said we don't say no much, right?
Yeah.
As a general rule, I don't say no to much. I've gotten better. at it, but I think that the way you deliver a no in your personal life versus a professional life versus a stranger encounter, forced encounter, is probably very different too. So if you're comfortable with people, your ability to reject things, like, you are easily would be like, Wendy, that's dumb. I don't agree. And no, we're not doing that. Right.
Yeah.
If you don't agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's also,
and I don't take it personal because you and I have that relationship.
It's the relationship that you have with the person. When you have a relationship, if you don't have that relationship, or if, you know, you think that your relationship is one way and ends up not being this, you don't value the relationship. It's an asymmetrical valuation.
So that would have been an interesting thing for him to do, right? Because I don't recall him ever putting himself like in rejection mode with his in-laws or his wife.
I don't know.
Or other than, you know, asking her to marry him and all that kind of stuff. But like, what would it be if you did 100 days of rejection with people that you're really comfortable with? And it's like, spin it on that. That would be really interesting.
That sounds like something a sociopath would do. I might have to do that.
You're welcome, Brian Kilby.
Awesome.
I really don't want you to be a sociopath, but
let's see here. So I guess in summary, I can say for me, the book is, if you ask a question and somebody says no, you're not going to die.
No.
And you're not going to be remembered 1,000 years from now as a loser.
No, but I think you need to, depending on how passionate it is, if you really didn't give that much of a rip about it going into being rejected or not, then definitely don't waste your time on a why. But if it's something that you really wanted and you want to understand why it happened, then ask. Like, because I'm horrible about that too, is like, to your point, send the email, ask why not.
Yeah.
Right. So I think this is also something I would like to pose a question to you about, Brian.
Uh-oh.
I think we should do a challenge.
Oh, no.
Like, okay. A 30-day challenge. I don't want to do 100 days. Who's got time for that? I don't have time for that. Do you have time for that? Maybe I do, but we should ponder this idea and this concept of doing a challenge and then doing a podcast about it.
Okay.
We can pose a challenge against each other.
Okay.
We'll discuss off air.
We need to set the ground rules.
Yes, because there's things that I could say I want you to do and you're gonna be like, heck no, that ain't gonna happen. But I think we should do this, and we should start it at the beginning of July so that at the end of July we can tell people about this challenge.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, awesome. So what's on the books for next weekend?
Oh goodness. Next weekend I think is Heroes Con, so I can talk about that.
Oh. What's Heroes Con?
It was the largest comic convention on the East Coast. Now it's the largest comic convention in North Carolina.
So will you be taking a road trip to this?
It's in Charlotte. Like, it used to be a road trip, but now it's 15 minutes.
Oh, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot can happen on 15 minutes on 77
That's
nowadays.
That's true. That's exactly right.
Well, enjoy Heroes Con. I'm going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, hanging out in the pig barn. So we've got two big things to discuss.
I can't wait. Sounds like fun.
All right. Have a good week.
See ya.
Bye. This was How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Please subscribe at our website, howwas.yourweekend. That's howw.as/yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.